Thank you. Tonight's meeting is a special call meeting with one item on our agenda, presentation of the school's budget. Therefore, there will not be a public forum tonight. Public forums are held at each regular monthly board meeting, ours to be scheduled May the 26th. Before we begin, I do have a statement that I would like to make, and I hope each one will listen carefully. Having been a classroom teacher for 31 years, I can appreciate your concern for fair treatment, your support for a colleague and a teacher that added to your educational experience, and an appropriate resolve to the current situation involving Eddie Anderson. This is an extremely difficult time for Mr. Anderson and his family and the Oak Ridge School District as well. I want to assure you that the board is listening to your concerns, reviewing your emails, and above all, staying informed as this process moves forward. I have personally been involved from the beginning. Mr. Anderson was suspended from his coaching duties for 3 weeks with pay. At that point in time, additional information was received that required us by law to report the information to the Oak Ridge Police Department. They are now handling the investigation. We as the Board of Education will not resolve this situation in the media or on Facebook, and we cannot speak at this time on personnel issues. We will follow our policies to see that all factual information is presented and an appropriate decision is made. I hope that each of you will allow us to complete that process and not make decisions based on suspicion and half-truths. Furthermore, threats to board members are not warranted or valued and only serve to distract from finding the truth for the issue at hand. Let's let the process that has been established work. Thank you. Our item on the agenda tonight is the Oak Ridge School's FY16 proposed budget. We have asked the superintendent to present this board with a budget that will not just maintain the Oak Ridge schools, but will take Oak Ridge to the next step educationally. Dr. Borchers, we're ready to hear from you at this point in time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Before we jump into the numbers, I do have a brief presentation for you this evening and then discussion and follow-up. But I think it's important to remember why we're doing what we're doing. And as this slide shows, we have a continuous improvement focus across the district, both in the buildings and department level. And there's a real focus on all students and making sure that they're successful and have a sustaining career when they walk across the stage in Oak Ridge High School. The way we're doing our work and making sure we're using data to make good instructional decisions and organizational decisions is using our 7 keys to college and career readiness. We've done a lot of work on scorecards, and that work continues and is getting better every month, every day. So let's start off by sharing where we are. And this isn't a great place to start, but as you can see, we're about $800,000 in the red as we start the FY16 budget process. It's important to note, like things like we made some decisions last year, spending one-time money on things like transportation. Deficit spending in that way attributes to a deficit that you're seeing here in front of you. So the board has seen this. We've been tracking the revenue that's coming in. Karen's done a great job of that. But our best guess at this point is an $800,000 deficit going in. That includes all current transportation, as is, no other changes to the budget. So $800,000. This is the additional investments that I think that are required for us to continue to move forward. I'm going to show you some data on salaries and cost of living or lack thereof, kind of a historical perspective from the Oak Ridge schools. But I think our number one priority is to make sure that we can attract and retain high quality staff. I don't think you're able to do that by constantly not providing salary increases for the great staff that we have in the Oak Ridge schools. As you can see there, the step is about $480,000. And I'm suggesting a 3% increase on top of that. So that step and the 3% is roughly $1.5 million. In addition, I'm looking to add some staff. And you'll see here that there's been some changes in this ask. I can explain some of that. The first bullet there you see is a TA for an elementary behavior classroom. And prior to this, you saw a teacher for that behavioral classroom. We feel that within our existing FTE with some retirement, some enrollment pieces, that we can fund that elementary classroom teacher position out of our current FTE. So, but we will need that teacher assistant to help that class work. So that's one change. An instructional technology coach. I'll talk a little bit in a second about possibilities of one-to-one at various levels in the district. But with that, I think we're going to need more and more help in the area of embedding instructional strategies involving technology in the classroom. The next pieces obviously have to do with increasing our technology staff. I know the board was recently taking a visit to the technology department and realizing the great need that we not only have currently, but will have, will need as we move forward with more devices in the district. And then finally, communications director. This is a number that we feel would be if we had our own communications director. But I think there's still opportunity for discussion with the city to partner, and we'd be happy to do that as we move through this month if it turns out that we can share cost for that position. So total additional investment then is 1.9, and now I'm going to go to our salary and just give people some information about steps. We hear a lot about steps. And the assumption that all teachers receive a step and an increase when there is no COLA increase, but we have the step increase. And for FY15, to get right to the point, you can see about 39% of our teaching staff does not get an increase because of where they're located on the steps. As we project for FY16, if we didn't give the COLA increase, that bottom number, that increases to 55% of our staff not getting an increase if we don't include the COLA increase. So I think that's very important information as we look at a salary increase that I think is much needed for our staff. And here is the history of our cost of living adjustments. Went back about 8 years, and you can see where this has headed. You can see where the downturn hit. But as you look at the number of people who don't get a raise and you see those two zeros, I can in good conscience recommend just a step for FY16. But I think that puts it in perspective and I believe the strong need that our staff deserve a salary increase. So total projected is about $2.7 million. I realize that is a big number, but when you think about the deficit we're starting with and having to engage in deficit spending and not being funded, I think, the way we probably should be in the past, and this a 3% raise, and then an additional $300,000 approximate number for some staffing positions that I think are directly related to our keys to college and career readiness and the initiatives that we have in the district. I want to just clarify this again. We've talked about this. one-to-one and the technology. And as you can see from this slide, we did have some leases come off that were from our current computer labs. And we either need to reinvest in that computer lab model so that we are ready for online testing next year, or we can choose to start having some pilots of one-to-one. And I believe that's where we need to head, given where our competition is and given the skills that our kids need in order to be successful. So we'll be talking with the board. We're in the initial planning phases of what that pilot's going to look like, but we would want to start that at the middle school level. Our hope is by the first quarter, we can start with a grade level at Jefferson and a grade level at Robertsville and make sure things are working the way we want them to work, and then expand that pilot program as we move forward. But I want people to realize that money was spent for computer and technology. It was for the lab, and if we don't spend it on one-to-one, we would have to go back in and spend that on the computer lab. So just want to make sure that that's clear for everyone. That's the end of the formal presentation. I think what I'm looking for is just some feedback for next week when we get a little bit deeper into the numbers and what we will eventually share at the meeting with the City Council.
Before we open for comments or questions from the board, let me, and I'll do this again at the end, just for to plant again in our minds and for those who are here as well. The next meeting of this board for budget discussion is May the 20th at 5:30. Then that is a work session. Then again on the 21st is a work session at 5:30. Then on the 26th is the regular meeting of the board and a public hearing of the budget, which would be first reading. Then on the 27th is scheduled another budget work session if needed. And then on the 28th at 4:30 p.m. would be the adoption of the budget, which would be the second reading. So what we hope to have as a finished product by that second reading is the information that we then will send on to the city for them to compile into their budget and for their budget discussion and presentation to the community at that time. So, with that being said, board members, I know prior to this, you've been doing your homework by asking a lot of good questions to the superintendent, and that's what we've got to do. So when we get to that final point, we have the document that I said at the beginning will take Oak Ridge Education forward in the coming year. So comments, questions, direction for the superintendent at this time from board members. Mr. Eby.
Yes, sir, Dr. Borchers. $2.7 million, this assumes no use of any fund balance, is that correct?
We currently are using, I think it's like 321, Karen, approximately, okay. 361 approximately in this budget of 2.7.
I guess what I would like to do is for next week is think about, obviously there's restrictions with fund balances. You typically can't use it on a recurring basis. I mean, pay me now or pay me later with regard to that. But I think if I recall correctly that in the past we have to maintain a fund balance of 3% by law by the state. But we maintain a fund balance that's a little higher than that because we have to meet cash flow. Something that I would like to look at is if there's possibility that we could, I see the mayor back there and Councilman Chin, and have the city be our bank from a standpoint of cash flow standpoints. You know, if we use more of our fund balance, maybe next time you could come and show how that cash flow spends so that maybe we could use some of our fund balance, even if it's for a recurring cost right now, in expectation that the city is going to grow in a year or 2 years, and then that then becomes in our budget in a year or two, as opposed to the whole $2.7 million. So we could look at that?
Definitely. We can bring that back, and Karen and I have been having some conversations around that, so that'll be one of the priority items for us to bring back to the board.
Karen, what was that number again that is already being used in this budget?
$361,000.
other comments, questions? Ms. Marshall?
Yes, related to the incremental staffing, I just wanted to confirm, it sounds as if you guys have gone through to evaluate whether you have other FTE that could be reallocated to fill these slots. Is that you guys have kind of done an audit there?
That's true, yeah. At this point, we had some enrollment reductions, and we were able to fix a couple of things with that FTE.
I know one of the, just again, bring this up, and I don't know where the board will want to go. I know that you have provided us already some information on this topic. I know we've received information from our transportation supervisor from First Student. Would just backtrack just a little bit that after last year and making several changes to our transportation program, one of the things that the board said at that time that we would do is that we would come back again this year and revisit our transportation program, again taking a look at the walk zones, etc. In the budget that you have now and we'll be working on, transportation is in that budget as it is for this school year. Is that's correct?
That's correct. That's correct.
Anyone else? Ms. Eagle.
It's probably worth mentioning that when we talked to transportation looking for better cost efficiencies, because that was the whole purpose of using one-time money to put service back, was to give us time to find a better plan. And the answers that we got to all of our questions boil down to the only way to reduce cost is to reduce the number of students riding. It's really what they tell us is the only way that we can actually save money. You have to reduce the number of students riding.
Ms. McLean.
Could you briefly tell me how you come up with this budget? Because I'm hearing from some of the schools things that they have asked for that are not on here. And I wonder how you decide how you get to this point.
You know, as you probably have heard, we have those budget meetings with every administrator and the suggestions going forward. I think what you're seeing here tonight is the prioritization of what I feel are mission critical things for the entire district. There wasn't a bad request from any building or department at all. And there's I didn't total them up, but we've got many more wants and needs than were indicated here with the additional staff. So that's after discussion, after we have all of our meetings with administrators and leaders, our executive team gets together and vets all the different requests, and then we come in with a final recommendation to the board.
And I would add to, go ahead, Karen.
No, I was just going to add to that, in addition to what Dr. Borcher said, most of our budget is staff and benefits. So enrollment is the starting place, and that's the big driver for staffing requests or staffing changes. And because we knew we were starting with a deficit, we really tried to hold the same levels of services and other items as the current year. So there wasn't a lot of room to address new things because of our financial situation.
And I would just share with you a lesson that I learned a number of years ago when I was seated, just as you are, as a new board member, first time going through the budget. I thought I had calculated all of this in my mind, and Karen gave me a very valuable lesson. I came up with an item that I wanted to add to the budget for X amount of dollars. And she said to me, well, where is that money coming from? Are you cutting something from another line item? And I said, no, I just want to add that in there. I'm not cutting anything. I just want to add it. And then she reminded me, well, that will be reoccurring dollars, so how are you going to pay for it next year? I'd never really, you know, I just thought, well, let's just add that in there and then we'll find the money somewhere. I say that from the point as we go through this budget, there will be opportunities for us to say we need maybe to take that out. Or, in your point, maybe we need to add this in. But as I learned, when we do that, we need to make sure we make the appropriate adjustments, not just for this year, but as we look forward to the next year as well, particularly if it's reoccurring dollars that we have to spend. I mean, because I could just really go down through here and add a lot of things, and it looked great, but therein lies our issue, and that's what we've got to work through in our next several meetings. If we take something out, do we replace it with something? Is it reoccurring? If we add something in there, we don't take anything out, how do we fund it? So, Mr. Eby.
Good point, but let me explain a little more to our newbies over there. This is our budget that we're presenting to the city on how we think that we ought to run the school system, what's required to do it. We obviously have to be good stewards of the city's tax-paying dollars and the counties and the states, too. I mean, we have to be good stewards, and we have to put together a budget that, you know, is reasonable. But also, it needs to be a budget that we, if we feel that this is what's needed to do to provide, our number one requirement is provide a quality education to our students and our children. I'll say this. I'm delighted to see the increase on the teacher salaries. And I think in the meetings that we had with City Council, it seems to me that the City Council was willing to, of course, they can't say how we spend the money, but willing to help find the money that would provide a raise for our teachers. I mean, you look, it's what's happened in the last 8 years. They have gone backwards. And that doesn't even include the increased cost in insurance and everything else. So that's $1.5 million to do that, but it's something $1.5 million we've got to find collectively with the city to pay for that. I think we also, you know, want to look and see what makes sense. So if it makes sense, we put it in. We don't have to balance, put in, put it out at this point in time. We present to the city on what we think is what's required and what's reasonable. I will also say that two recent surveys, one from the mayor's, one from the Chamber of Commerce I sit on, did, you know, what is it that's important to the citizens of the community? And in both of those, increasing your taxes was down at the bottom or next to the bottom of the list. People aren't that worried about paying higher taxes. I ran on my campaign that I was going to increase taxes. I got the highest vote in the city. I think that shows that people are willing to pay for the quality schools. So with that said, we need to put together a program that we think is the right program for the city that makes the most sense, that moves our schools forward.
Oh, sorry, Ms. Marshall.
In the spirit of that, I think, just tagging on to both Laura's question and Bob's comment, for the unanswered requests that have come up from our schools, has the executive committee prioritized that list, or has there been any discussion of prioritization of the things that we don't feel like this budget answers?
Yeah, there's, you know, it's kind of like, I'll look to Alan Thacker on the capital improvement list, you know, that there are so many things on there, and the time it takes to prioritize those probably aren't worth the balance of effort to do so. What you're seeing here, if you look at additional staff, as I mentioned earlier, the behavioral class has been brought to me for the last 2 years by the PTO saying, Dr. Borchers, we need this class back, and have examples for that. The other things are the technology. We could cut those, but adding, you know, 1,000 devices next year with the current staff, I don't think is a logical request. And then the communications director, also something I heard even before I came here that we needed to address. So you're seeing the bare minimum of what I think should move forward. Now, if the board would want to add to that list or pull off and add, they certainly would take those suggestions and come back to you with why or why not I would want to make those recommendations. But I think what you're seeing here from me is based on just bottom dollar
just to make things go next year, this is what I would suggest.
And I think I would be curious to understand the scope of unanswered requests related to staffing and programmatic instructional costs. So sure. Not capital, setting aside capital, but understanding direct-to-student impact requests that we're choosing to set aside for this year.
We can get you those lists.
Understanding the scope of that.
Yep, we can get you those lists.
Ms. Engel.
Another clarification point. Under the additional staff, we have two technicians in technology. Those are not new positions. Those are putting back two positions that were cut 2 years ago. And we are woefully below school standards, much less industry standard, for supporting the technology we already have.
And it is, in addition to that, the behavioral class at the elementary level was also a position that was cut in the past. So another position that we're just feeling like we can't do without.
Well, for that matter, communications director, it was before my time on the board, but we did used to have a communications director. So I'm not sure I'm seeing any new positions that are entirely new, except maybe the instructional technology coach.
Mr. Eby.
Yeah, let me go back to the communications director. There was discussion of sharing that position with the city. So this is if we were able to do that, this number would be cut.
We could cut that in half if that would be the partnership that was agreed to.
How do we move forward with buying off on that with the city?
You know, Mr. Watson and I'm not sure if Mark's here or not, have discussed that and just recently about partnering on that, but I'm not sure where he's at with his recommendation at this point, but I know he and I re-engaged in that conversation about a week ago. I'm sorry, I've got one note here that I didn't have on here. We've talked a lot about the mechatronics piece here. We have figured out, we had a good meeting with the high school administrators today on staffing, and I'm not asking for a full position because we have found a way to get those sections moving for next year. So that's another reduction from a prior list that you had on additional staff, but I want the board to know we are going to be offering the sections that are appropriate for the number of students that have signed up for that class.
And I'll just kind of follow that with a question. I think this is directed, Karen, part of it to you, and Dr. Lee, maybe the second part to you. You can just nod your head if you want to in a minute. Are we feel pretty comfortable at this point in time as we go into this budget with our projections as far as enrollment is concerned? And do we feel pretty comfortable as far as going into this budget, our projections for staffing, as far as any turnover that we may not be aware of at this time to move forward with this? You see, you know what I'm asking?
Yes.
And you're shaking yes. Okay. Mr. Eby?
I think something else that would be helpful, you mentioned that you were able to find within your programs to be able to staff the mechatronics job, which is a big, important activity for the high school. You know, we got, what, $275,000 from the state for the PLC programmer. What other positions and activities have you been able to, with the existing budget, identify that you can, you know, move things around, not fill this position so that you can fill this position? Have you looked at the administration staff, those kind of things? I would like, when you come back next week, if you could show how you've, you know, looked throughout the whole program to see where else you can find money.
Other questions or comments from the board? Other comments, Dr. Borchers?
No, I mean, if there's no additional questions or comments this evening, please email and we can gather that so that we have a productive meeting next week and get just a little bit deeper into this.
Okay, once again, we meet again on May 20th at 5:30. That's a work session. May 21st at 5:30, that's a work session. May 26th at 5:30, that's a regular board meeting and public hearing, first reading. May 27th at 4:30 is a work session if that's needed. And May 28th at 4:30 is the adoption of the budget on a second reading. We are adjourned.